90.3 FM, Montreal.
One Stop Caribbean Cuisine is the place to be. The best tasting food, West Indian food. Check it out, 334 St. Jacques Street. The one and only, Chef X, and the best. Everyone calling up his name, talking about him. All type of food ready right there. Fish, vegetables, oxtail, curry goat, jerk chicken. That same tasting Caribbean food in a Montreal. And then me go, when me left Jamaica. Go there right now, the food delicious, delicious. West Indian Caribbean Cuisine. I will be there, check it out, check it out.
Following is a previously broadcast program.
Welcome. Welcome everyone out there in Radio Land. You're listening to CKUT 90.3. This is the Montreal Sessions with the Chaotic Insurrection Ensemble. We'll be back in just a minute. We'll be right back. Welcome, everyone. You are listening to CKUT 90.3. I hope you're having a good time out there in Radioland. So, this is the Chaotic Insurrection Ensemble. We're doing Montreal sessions for this month of April. Maybe we should introduce ourselves. My name is Kathy. Veronica.
My name is Veronica.
And I'm Rachel.
And I'm Maggie.
Great, that's good. So maybe we should talk a little bit about what we do, like what is the purpose of our band. Does anybody have any specific late-breaking news they want to break about our band?
Well, I guess we could start with the mission statement that we have, which I have right here in front of me. Basically, we're an activist street band, which organizes under anarchist principles. Basically, we like to play a lot of demos, lots of protests, things like that. We try to make things fun and exciting and bring down, I guess, sort of like negative vibes and up the positive vibes at demos.
Yeah.
I think that's our sort of our main role.
And so there we have it. And so I guess what we're going to be doing in this hour is we're going to play part of a radio documentary that was done by the Hungry March Band, which are our friends down in New York City. And we're going to be playing a lot of really interesting music from different marching bands from around the world. We just went into that segment with the Pink Puffers, who are playing heavy brass. And then after that, it was the Kochani Orkestar playing Akonija. So, we had something really exciting planned involving the mission statement. Do you guys feel like doing it, or is it too, should we save it till a little bit later? What do you think?
Maybe we should save it.
Okay, everybody just out there in Radioland, relax, because something really exciting is going to happen very shortly, but we're not quite mentally and physically and spiritually prepared right now, but it's going to happen soon. And maybe what we're going to do right now is we're going to go to the What Cheer Brigade, which is a band that we know, and this is their song, Green Eyes. So get ready, and then we'll be back pretty soon. Take care. See you later.
Thank you.
Welcome back. This is CKUT 90.3. We were just listening to the What Cheer Band. That was Green Eyes. And What Cheer is from Providence, Rhode Island. And I'm trying to remember now how we met the What Cheer Band. I can't remember. It had something to do with...
I think we met them 2 years ago when we first went to Honkfest. Although at that moment we were pretty shy as a band and we didn't really meet them. So we only met them really last October.
Mm-hmm. It was a pretty fun time. I remember we went down to Providence with them and we played a show with them. And we got to stay in this big loft or something they're all living in, or some of them are living in anyway. And it was a really good time.
It was.
Yeah, and how did we get to Honkfest in the beginning? Maybe we should talk about what Honkfest is in case people have no idea what that is.
Mm-hmm. Kathy, what is Honkfest?
Well, it's a crazy bunch of maniacs doing crazy, maniacal things. Just crazy street bands from all across North America and also from Europe that come and play lots of incredible music in Somerville, close to Boston, Massachusetts. And we were super lucky because they let us come. Well, first of all, they invited us. And then they were so nice, the organizers, they even found places for us to stay, which was really great. And it's just a big celebration of street music and having a good time, pretty much.
Mm-hmm. And if I remember correctly, which I might not, but I think it was the accordion player from The Chaotic, Jessica, who first got into finding out about marching bands, radical marching band on the internet, and then found out about the Hungry March Band and emailed Sebastian. And he's living in New York, but he actually came from around Montreal. And so he came and played with us a few times, and then he's the one, we think, that got us to Honkfest.
Mm-hmm. Did he, I can't remember what happened, but did he like write them an email or something? Or I don't know, what did he do? He vouched for us or something? I forget.
Probably. I think he probably played a trombone solo to sway them into letting us play that first time, because nobody at that point knew what the Chaotic Insurrection Ensemble was, and we had no clue what we were going towards when we went there.
Yeah, had we even picked our name at that point? I can't remember.
I remember picking it the week before in a certain bar in Mileland with a lot of beer and trying to figure out, first of all, our colors and second, a name, because we had to send a name. No?
Yeah, because we had to fill in the application form.
Yeah.
That's great. I remember that conversation because there was some other hotly contested names like the Spontaneous Combustion Chamber Orchestra, and I can't remember whether there
People's
any
Choice.
People's Choice. And then, were there any other ones? Can you remember?
Well, we used to be called Anarchy Marchy Band.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So. And people usually still refer to us as the Anarchist Marching Band, no matter what we say about that. Anyways, one of the good things about Sebastian and the Hungry March Band is that Sebastian occasionally comes to Montreal, and then he's great because he always teaches us a new song. So hopefully maybe we'll play one of those songs sometime. Currently in the studio, we only have two tubas. Do we have a drum as well? Great. Two tubas and some people that can whistle or hum or who knows what. So you may hear a beautiful, mournful tuba duet later in the show. And right now, maybe we should play the Hungry March Band. They did a short radio documentary, and it talks a lot about street activism and music in the streets and that kind of stuff.
It talks a lot about how the Hungry March Band became to be. So here it goes.
Welcome to Sprouts, radio from the grassroots, a weekly program that showcases radio productions from this and many other independent community stations across the country. We bring local stories to a national audience from a different location every week.
The band started in my house. My roommate and some other people were one of the founders, and they were rehearsing outside my bedroom, and I was in graduate school trying to learn about feminist theory, and all I could do was twirl baton.
I'm Sebastian Eisler of the Hungry March Band. Today on Sprouts, we bring you the Hungry March Band, a community marching band based in New York City, USA. March Band is a 25-piece brass band established in 1997 in New York City. With a lineup of 4 trombones, 3 trumpets, 5 saxophones, 6 percussionists, and 5 dancers, we are a blazing parade of flesh, blood, steel, brass, and wood.
From guerrilla art events in the street to subway parties. We've played on the beach. We've played at high-profile gigs like Lincoln Center has had us quite frequently.
March Band can just show up on the spot anywhere and give people just pure unadulterated fun. And I think that's probably like one of the most important things about the band. It's like in a city like New York, there's so much stuff to do and people can go out and do anything to get their rocks off, whatever it is. And people find themselves, jaded and things after this point in time, and they look around and they're like, well, whatever happened to fun? But I think people find that. I think people find that with the Hungry March Band. I think they can't deny it. I think it happens every time.
It's like your family. It's a support group that fights. And musically, this happens too.
There's brilliant musicians here, and we look like organized chaos, but we're not. We actually, there's a method to our madness.
We actually are organized chaos.
I mean, originally it was just to lay by the riverside and drink beer.
We would just go every Sunday down to the waterfront in Williamsburg in that vacant lot where you could raise whatever hell you wanted to.
And then people brought instruments and more beer and all that. And then it became more like a sonic sound project. You know, like, let's do this. Not really play a song, but play like this sound. And there was all kinds of sound effects. And then it just kind of grew into like a kind of a band.
We'd be down there every Sunday doing all kinds of stuff and playing music and learning and growing together. 99 was when we discovered Notes. Sebastian, we found him through an ad. He was like, he came, he was really nervous.
Were you?
He was. He told me he was nervous because we put up this big sign, really important sign, and he showed up. He was practicing, and then he showed up and he was like, oh my goodness. And then he became addicted, and I don't know. How did we find everybody?
I came to the cooler to see the Hungry March Band on an invitation from Ben Myers, who's a trombone player. And he was really fervent about it and always passionate about it and talking about Hungry March Band's doing this and Hungry March Band's doing that. And there's this political uprising here, and we're going to go do this. And I was inspired that moment to just come and do whatever I could do. I said, I can play snare drum. Okay, well, come play snare drum. And I said, well, okay, great. And then we need a bass drummer. So I came in and I played bass drum.
I just moved to New York City from Wisconsin, and I played trombone and a couple other instruments, and I just put it like, I need a band, help.
My name is Okon of the Hungry March Band. I play saxophone. And I came here, New York, 2000, and I came here because I wanted to play saxophone, but I was totally beginner.
Eventually, it just came to pass that I said, okay, well, I'm gonna figure out a rig to play timbales with this band, and that's going to be my drum.
There is an audition, and I went to there, and I saw the Hungry March Band. It was fantastic, just so great energy with some freedom. Great. So I started to chase them.
Very true.
Because
he way upstate.
Yeah, because I couldn't speak English totally, and I went to so many places to see the Hungry March Band. And about 3 months later, band gave me a matching jacket.
I was always a drummer, and in this band, I first started playing castanets because they were small, and if the cops came, I could put them in my pocket, and I'm like, well, no, I'm not with them. I'm not getting arrested. So eventually somebody said, well, Sam, yeah, you're great on the castanets, but every song with the castanets, it's a little much. So I'm like, okay, what can I play now? All right, the cymbal player wasn't showing up. I'm like, I'll play cymbals. And it developed from there.
I'm Sandra. I'm one of the dancers, and I hoop, so I've got different experiences. And I was brought in by Samantha, who is my best friend and the cymbal player, and she opened up this whole other world to me. And I didn't know what I was doing, I got to tell you that. I'd never danced. I'd never done any of it. And in 2002, Sarah Valentine came to me, and she said to me, can you spin this little hoop? And that's how I got in the band. And it's just been an unbelievable blessing.
Sam brought me in. We met at a happy hour. Like, within the first 2 weeks, I'd moved to New York. And she tells me all about this band and how much fun I'm going to have in it and how it's so great and everything. And then I think we somehow managed to miss swapping info that time. And then 6 months later, I ran into her again. And she's like, just show up. And showed up to rehearsal, started playing, kept on showing up. There's never really a direct way to join the band from what I've found, but it's keep on showing up and keep your attitude in the right place and keep your spirits high.
Had a meeting about 4 years ago, and there were a few of us here who were there, and we were talking about how there are community bands, which in the States, for me anyway, relates to a more John Philip Sousa style of playing. There are obviously the football bands and stuff like that. In terms of New York City, because we didn't have a lot to work with in terms of brass band tradition, we said, what would be the meaning or the significance of establishing a New York brass band tradition? What kind of music, what would that sound like?
Our tradition is like a real, like, different than I think other marching band traditions, because we're like based, it's like this kind of punk rock tradition.
Maybe it's not so much a New York sound, but I would say it's like an urban sound anyway.
There's also a style of performance that's happening in this project that makes it like a more of a theatrical thing than sometimes people anticipate, because the performance element of this band isn't everybody doing the same thing at the same time, like traditional showgirl choreography, although we definitely have that. But I feel like the main job of the performers in this project, at least from my perspective, is to really empower and enable the audience to fully be participating with us. And I think that, like, that is as strong as the musical statement that we're making.
One of the big differences between the American bands, or us anyway, and the European bands is, like, we've done a lot of tours in Europe, and people always say about, you know, when we're over there, they say, you make a big show. You have all these dancers, and we have all these sexy outfits, and, you know, you just, like, such performers, and people always notice that when we're over there. You know, here we just take it for granted. Oh, we're going to wear these skimpy outfits and like shake our butts and
it's the girls, mind you.
You know, yeah. No, some guys do it too. But I mean, it's a certain flavor, and the I don't know. Like, I think they really appreciate us for our spectacle, which is actually it's a very American and New York kind of thing.
That's typical of HMB, is that you're gonna get this like weird clowny performy showgirl, and it's, you're never gonna know what it is. And it's interesting that I think it's questioning gender things, but it's also and it's questioning the American brass band tradition, and then it's also challenging the audience to participate and ultimately empowering them to do that. And I think in that moment when we give them the subjectivity, you've really erased the border that exists between like a performer and an audience member.
And I think that in terms of watching other people have fun with us, that's really something refreshing, and it can also bring out kind of we can reflect upon their own lives living here and reflect that in our music. So have it kind of more a hyper or not necessarily stressed out, but at least a high level of both music presentation and energy that really comes out in the music.
Oh, the band is what it is. It's a good group of people trying to do it, you know, play some music, get together, hang out, you know. I'm still in it for the music. That's it.
Listening to Sprouts Radio from the Grassroots, a weekly program bringing you local radio productions of national interest. I'm Sebastian Eisler with the Hungry March Band. Today on Sprouts, we bring you the Hungry March Band, a community marching band based in New York City, USA.
Welcome back.
Welcome back.
So right now what we are seeing is Kathy is stuck between the sousaphone, the mic, and the earphones.
Yeah, it's true.
Doing it all together.
It's a very exciting moment in my life where I'm trying to do everything all at the same time. So let's just turn up the mics here a tiny little bit. So after that incredible barrage of tuba music, that was our way of saying to you that we're back on air on CKUT. And we just heard from the Brass Liberation Orchestra. That was a song of theirs. And that was after the first half of the documentary by the Hungary March Band. So,
does CKUT want to say something?
I don't know. Do you see something? Is CKUT talking to us somehow? I don't know. So the point of the story is, okay, so let's continue on to the next thing. We're going to talk about that doc that we just heard a little bit of. And, oh yes, the station IDs. Okay, this is really suave. I think what we're going to do instead is we're maybe just going to go back to the radio documentary that we just heard. And then we'll keep going. Okay, sound good?
Great, too. Because we play so many different varying gigs. We play some high-profile gigs, and we play these, like, you know, crazy community gigs, and it's the same thing every time. It's just the fun. But, I was at a friend's house one day, and we have an online tool where we check our gigs and everybody. That's how we organize and everything. And he was looking at the gigs we had lined up, and he's like, man, he's like, you guys have got to be the only band in, like, New York, if not the world, who's playing the Highline Ballroom one night and like a Grand Street High School the next day.
But, rain, no less. Playing a high school
yes.
that was like
And we played it in the rain. It was great.
One event that stands out in my mind that we do on a regular basis is the Mermaid Parade. The Coney Island Mermaid Parade. And, you know, Coney Island's been in the news a lot lately. It's being threatened by developers, like a lot of interesting communities in the United States. And the joy that we bring to these people is just amazing along the boardwalk. The parade happens in June every year, and it's organized by a man named Dick Zigen, who is kind of the mayor of Coney Island. And we are one... I mean, we're not the only marching band that marches in the Coney Island Mermaid Parade, but we basically march and twirl and have our hoops, and at the end, we march straight into the water, followed by all the people who, you know, the police are afraid are following us anyway, and just kind of play in the water and twirl and have a lot of fun. It's wonderful for us because it's a beautiful community, and I'm just hoping that the beauty of Coney Island isn't destroyed by developers, and we're kind of hoping to be a part of that preservation.
We did a number of subway parties. The first one, only three members of the Hungary March Band showed up because nobody else believed that it was really happening.
Well, the subway party, it wasn't organized by anybody. And basically there was a call out that you arrive at, like, say, the yellow train, the N train platform at, like, 11:02 on a Friday night and wear all yellow. And when you'd arrive there, there'd be tons of participants and tons and the band. And we took the train this particular night all the way out to Coney Island playing. And it was amazing to see this sort of, like, takeover of public space that was happening by the marching band. And the participants, some of whom were like dance professional dancers who were dancing and kicking their legs and climbing on bars, and then just everyday people that wanted to come and participate. And then the people that are riding the subway home who were like, oh my God, what's happening? You know? And then so you have this sort of like this clash of all these different people in this very predictable space, the subway, and then what happens? And we ended up that night, what happens is it's a party, and either you find people who really love it or they hate it, but like the people who really love it, who are there with you, they stay and they go with you all the way, and they're smiling and they're happy, and like it's an exuberant moment for them because there's some a little break from the norm has happened. It's like a tiny, like, Dionysian moment has happened for them in their daily living.
We started playing the marathon every year, you know, starting maybe 10 years ago. And that's like exposure to a lot of people that don't usually hear this type of marching band. And we got all the marathoners to, you know, do hit together and lift up their arms. Dun, 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 dun. Hey! 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 So anyway.
We played at Madison Square Garden, and we delivered all the voters' registrations.
For Ralph Nader.
For Ralph Nader to the post office. And we were playing on the post office steps, and all they were surrounded by this huge crowd, and all these cops came, and they were all like, holding hands and not letting us go. And we were like so tired and we wanted to just go. And the crowd kept going, let them play, let them play, let them play. And we're like looking at each other like, I'm so tired. I just want to go now, don't you? And like, yeah, let's try to go. And they wouldn't let us go. And the crowd and the cops got into this sort of battle. And we had to be like taken out one at a time, like the Beatles.
We do have a very strong populist, progressive, leftist current to what we do in this band. We're just not overt about it.
It's very important that we collectively agree that we're on the same page and that we say we won't go support this company there because they've done this over there.
We're providing the soundtrack to the revolution. The
point is that we're very aligned with our community and we stay aware of what's happening around us.
One of the biggest changes happened after 9/11, you know, because before that we would do the subway parties and we just cram on, and like the car was like filled with people partying, rocking the subway, you know, drinking and smoking on the subway. And now, you know, the same thing with the parks, and it's not only affecting us but affecting, you know, so many people in the city.
The machine of change really started with Giuliani's mayorship, and how he really tried to harness what maybe his class of people or his design of people expected out of New York. And they tried to clean up the streets. And we're kind of that part of New York that was the part of the streets that didn't want to be cleaned up because we didn't feel like we were doing wrong. And we felt like we were really trying to bring something beautiful to the people.
Our second CD was called On the Waterfront, and that was named after a rehearsal space that we had on the waterfront, which was the place that where we really came together, where we used to go Sundays, and we used to play and fight and drink and smoke and play soccer and play music, and we barbecued and we'd stay there all day with the skate. There was skateboard punks and homeless guys, and everybody was down there, and it was great, and it was a beautiful time for the band, and people would come down and watch us, and we just had this freedom all day long. And then they closed that lot off to us after a few years, and now it's like paved over. There's not a single tree down there. There's not an ounce of shade. We can't go down there. And we're having a really hard time finding open space where we can just rehearse on Sundays. It's not welcoming for us in the city. Like, coming to a park, we might get hassled. We might get booted. And we really shouldn't be, but it's a big problem for us. There's a rule with the parks where if you have a gathering of more than 20 people, you're supposed to have a permit. And we're oftentimes more than 20 people. Why can't we as a community group just go and rehearse in a park on Sunday? Why can't we do that? We can't, you know, because we're more than like 20 people sometimes, and we're making noise, and some police officer takes it upon themselves to be like, you can't play here, you're disturbing people. We were at the marathon, and we were playing, and the cops tried to make us move into another precinct because they didn't want to deal with us. They thought we were going to do something. And we weren't, but Norman Siegel happened to be there, and he was with a friend of ours, and our friend brought him over, and he stood toe-to-toe with the police, and told them that they can't make us move, and we weren't so loud. They tried to say we were too loud, we were this, we were that, and this is the reason we had to move. But in fact, we weren't, and he represented us right there on the street, and we were allowed to stay where we were, and we played, and it was good to have somebody like that backing us up, because oftentimes people just, they just hassle us, and we just oftentimes move along because we just want to play music, you know. We don't want to go fight with the cops just every time we want
to
play.
We used to be able to get an amazing space in Williamsburg where you could have a group of artists perform in a large warehouse, and none of these are available anymore. You have to get further and further and further out, and with the gentrification and everything else comes people who are paying exorbitant rents, and these people somehow or another don't want, you know, to have the people who are the artists who originally started there. So when we go to have big events now, we can't find space.
A lot of us lived in Williamsburg in the Lower East Side, and a lot of us have had to move out because the rents are just too high, and the atmosphere is also not as welcoming as it used to be.
You've got a different attitude now towards what artists and creativity is, and towards us coming and making a community and using the warehouses for space for people like us that have now turned into loss for 3 and 4 kids renting at $3,000 a month. That's how New York's changed.
Small towns in France will have, like, their own marching band, but in the States, that's just not happening, but it's starting to evolve, and it's just a really important part of life to have a brass band in your town that can show up at your picnic and your party and your parade and your protest and your vineyard, and they know how to live in Europe, and we're a little behind here in the States.
We do have the Honk Fest, which has begun to become an exposition of these bands that exist in the United States. And there's the Honk Fest, which has existed now for 2 years in Boston. It's about to see its third year. And it's a sort of melting pot of bands from the West Coast and the North Coast and the South Coast and the East Coast. Some affiliates of that festival just started a festival this past year in the Seattle area. And we went and represented the East Coast in this year's Honk Festival in Seattle, and it's been an amazing conglomeration of workshops, and you really see the power and the energy in the streets of this country.
You know, you meet all these people that, like, yeah, they were in a march band for 8 years, and then they became an accountant, or they opened up a whatever store, and then, like, they're like, oh, yeah, I play trumpet, and you're like, wow, I never knew that, and then all of a sudden they have an outlet again.
Going to Europe with the Hungry March Band has opened up a whole new world for the European bands, too. We've brought over 4 bands from Europe in the last 3 years. The first band was this band from Lyon called Le Pistol, and they were the first band that was, they were like, yeah, we're coming to New York. We don't care if we make money. We don't care. So they came over. I helped get them a lot of shows. And being in Europe, though, they have funding for these kind of events where we don't have that kind of funding for this kind of sort of thing. And when the first band came over, Le Pistol, we were like, oh, my God, how are we going to repay all their, you know, efforts to feed us and get us drunk every day? And, like, how are we going to do this? We don't have funding. But we did it. We did it. We pulled our resources together, found them shows, had a big dinner at my house. We had 40 people sit-down dinner in my house. And it was incredible.
We've put out 4 CDs by ourselves, our own label. All the tours, all the CDs, we're not on a label. We do this all ourselves. We're totally DIY. If you want one of our CDs, you can get it at a show. We've got 4 CDs. One is currently available, which is all... But one song is an original composition, and CD Baby is the way you can order it online. Our website is www.hungrymarchband.com.
That's it for Sprouts. You've been listening to The Hungry March Band. I'm Sebastian Eisler of The Hungry March Band, a community marching band based in New York City. Production assistance came from David Clayman, Greta Cohn, Doug George, and Ursula Rudenberg. Music you've heard included Bag Search, Blasted, Happy Time, a.k.a. The Clam, Gdesibre, and Push It. Sprouts is a weekly program produced in collaboration with community radio stations and independent producers across the country, bringing you local radio productions of national interest. The program is coordinated and distributed by Pacifica Radio. Thanks to Michael Yoshida at Satellite Operations. If you or someone at your station has a radio production that you wish to rebroadcast on Sprouts to showcase it nationally, contact our air traffic controller, Ursula Rudenberg, at Ursula, U-R-S-U-L-A, at Pacifica.org. That's U-R-S-U-L-A, at Pacifica.org.
Artists Against Apartheid, the 7th edition. Sunday, April 12th, La Sala Rosa. As part of the ongoing series, Uniting Artists in Montreal Against Israeli Apartheid, with performances from the improvisational duo of Lori Friedman and Malcolm Goldstein, Advar, an Iranian musical duo, Bax, featuring saxophone from Claude Miru, poet Kai Kello, songs from Molly Sweeney. That's Sunday, April 12th at La Sala Rosa, 4848 Saint-Laurent, $5 to $10. An event hosted by Tadamon Montreal, tadamon.ca. This is a CKUT co-presentation.